Chapter 8. I would make you something, said she, and crossed her two hands on my arm, and turned away her head. Judging from this, that the softer sentiments alluded to above had begun to flow, I adapted my conduct to that belief. Thus happily we passed on into the detested thoroughfare of Piccadilly. On the right of that thoroughfare is a row of trees, the railing of the Green Park, and a fine broad eligible piece of pavement. Oh my! Cried Henrietta presently. There's been an accident. I looked to the left, and said, Where, Henrietta? Not there, stupid, said she. Over by the park railings. Where the crowd is. Oh no, it's not an accident, it's something else to look at. What's them lights? She referred to two lights twinkling low amongst the legs of the assemblage. Two candles on the pavement. Oh, do come along, cried Henrietta, skipping across the road with me. I hung back, but in vain. Do let's look. Again, designs upon the pavement. Center compartment, Mount Vesuvius going it in a circle, supported by four oval compartments, severally representing a ship in heavy weather, a shoulder of mutton attended by two cucumbers, a golden harvest with distant cottage of proprietor, and a knife and fork after nature. Above the center compartment a bunch of grapes, and over the whole a rainbow. The whole, as it appeared to me, exquisitely done. The person in attendance on these works of art was in all respects, shabbiness excepted, unlike the former personage. His whole appearance and manner denoted briskness. Though threadbare, he expressed to the crowd that poverty had not subdued his spirit, or tinged with any sense of shame this honest effort to turn his talents to some account. The writing which formed a part of his composition was conceived in a similarly cheerful tone. It breathed the following sentiments. The writer is poor, but not despondent. To a British 1234567890 public he pounds SD appeals. Honor to our brave army. And also 0987654321 to our gallant navy. Britain strike the ABCDEFG writer in common shocks would be grateful for any suitable employment home. Hurrah! The whole of this writing appeared to me to be exquisitely done. But this man, in one respect like the last, though seemingly hard at it with a great show of brown paper and rubbers, was only really fattening the downstroke of a letter here and there, or blowing the loose chalk off the rainbow, or toning the outside edge of the shoulder of mutton. Though he did this with the greatest confidence, he did it, as it struck me, in so ignorant a manner, and so spoilt everything he touched, that when he began upon the purple smoke from the chimney of the distant cottage of the proprietor of the golden harvest, which smoke was beautifully soft, I found myself saying aloud, without considering of it, Let that alone, will you? Halloa! Said the man next me in the crowd, jerking me roughly from him with his elbow, why didn't you send a telegram? If we had known you was coming, we'd have provided something better for you. You understand the man's work better than he does himself, don't you? Have you made your will? You're too clever to live long. Don't be hard upon the gentleman, sir, said the person in attendance on the works of art, with a twinkle in his eye as he looked at me. He may chance to be an artist himself. If so, sir, he will have a fellow feeling with me, sir, when I he adapted his action to his words as he went on, and gave a smart slap of his hands between each touch, working himself all the time about and about the composition, when I lighten the bloom of my grapes shade off the orange in my rainbow dot the eye of my Britons, throw a yellow light into my cowcumber and insinuate another morsel of fat into my shoulder of mutton dart another zigzag flash of lightning at my ship in distress. He seemed to do this so neatly, and was so nimble about it, that the halfpence came flying in. Thanks, generous public, thanks, said the professor. You will stimulate me to further exertions. My name will be found in the list of British painters yet. I shall do better than this, with encouragement. I shall indeed. You never can do better than that bunch of grapes, said Henrietta.
Oh, Thomas, them grapes.
Not better than that, lady. I hope for the time when I shall paint anything but your own bright eyes and lips equal to life.
Thomas, did you ever?
But it must take a long time, sir, said Henrietta, blushing, to paint equal to that.
I was prenticed to it, miss, said the young man, smartly touching up the composition, prenticed to it in the caves of Spain and Portingal, ever so long and 2 year over.
There was a laugh from the crowd, and a new man who had worked himself in next me, said, he's a smart chap too, ain't he?
And what AI? Exclaimed Henrietta softly.
Ah, he need have AI, said the man.
Ah, he just need, was murmured among the crowd.
He couldn't come that ear-burning mountain without AI, said the man.
He had got himself accepted as an authority, somehow, and everybody looked at his finger as it pointed out Vesuvius.
To come that effect in a general illumination would require AI, but to come it with two dips why, it's enough to blind him.
That impostor, pretending not to have heard what was said, now winked to any extent with both eyes at once, as if the strain upon his sight was too much, and threw back his long hair, it was very long, as if to cool his fevered brow.
I was watching him doing it, when Henrietta suddenly whispered,
"Oh, Thomas, how horrid you look," and pulled me out by the arm. Remembering Mr. Click's words, I was confused when I retorted, "What do you mean by horrid?"
"Oh gracious! Why, you looked," said Henrietta, "as if you would have his blood."
I was going to answer, so I would, for twopence from his nose, when I checked myself and remained silent. We returned home in silence. Every step of the way, the softer sentiments that had flowed, ebbed 20 miles an hour. Adapting my conduct to the ebbing, as I had done to the flowing, I let my arm drop limp, so as she could scarcely keep hold of it, and I wished her such a cold good night at parting, that I keep within the bounds of truth, when I characterize it as a rasper. In the course of the next day I received the following document.
Henrietta informs Thomas, that my eyes are open to you. I must ever wish you well, but walking and us is separated by an unfarmable abyss. One so malignant to superiority, oh that look at him. Can never, never conduct, Henrietta, P.S. to the altar. Yielding to the easiness of my disposition, I went to bed for a week, after receiving this letter. During the whole of such time, London was bereft of the usual fruits of my labor. When I resumed it, I found that Henrietta was married to the artist of Piccadilly. Did I say to the artist? What fell words were those, expressive of what a galling hollowness, of what a bitter mockery. I am the artist. I was the real artist of Piccadilly, I was the real artist of the Waterloo Road, I am the only artist of all those pavement subjects which daily and nightly arouse your admiration. I do 'em, and I let 'em out. The man you behold with the papers of chalks and the rubbers, touching up the down strokes of the writing and shading off the salmon, the man you give the credit to, the man you give the money to, hires, yes, and I live to tell it, hires those works of art of me, and brings nothing to 'em but the candles. Such is genius in a commercial country. I am not up to the shivering, I am not up to the liveliness, I am not up to the wanting employment in an office move, I am only up to originating and executing the work. In consequence of which you never see me, you think you see me, when you see somebody else, and that somebody else is a mere commercial character. The one seen by self and Mr. Click in the Waterloo Road can only write a single word, and that I taught him, and its multiplication which you may see him execute upside down, because he can't do it the natural way. The one seen by self and Henrietta by the Green Park railings can just smear into existence the two ends of a rainbow, with his cuff and a rubber, if very hard put upon making a show, but he could no more come the arch of the rainbow, to save his life, than he could come the moonlight, fish, volcano, shipwreck, mutton, hermit, or any of my most celebrated effects. To conclude as I began, If there's a blighted public character going, I am the party. And often as you have seen, do see, and will see, my works, it's 50,000 to 1, if you'll ever see me, unless, when the candles are burnt down, and the commercial character is gone, you should happen to notice a neglected young man perseveringly rubbing out the last traces of the pictures, so that nobody can renew the same. That's me. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.